Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hour two of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. No Michael Lombardi today. Excited to have Mike Somich join us, though. Usual VSiN host of The Handle, professional handicapper, stopping by, dropping some knowledge. And I'm very excited, Mike, because at the very end of this hour, we're really going to put your handicapping skills to the test. For anybody that doesn't know, Mike Somich has like an amazing way of being able to handicap just about everything. And I remember, I can't wait for the 4th of July because I remember last year talking to you when it came to the hot dog eating contest. You're like, I got a guy. You can handicap just about everything.
Yeah, that's the fun part. And I'm excited. So I essentially got, we'll call it four assignments yesterday where it was more random things that were happening. It was fun to be able to go through it. I'm excited to talk about the process of it too, Stormy. A lot of times when we're betting baseball, when we're betting NBA, when we're betting the NFL, we have so much knowledge that's already there as a base of knowledge, essentially, in these sports and what we believe around these players and what we expect from these teams. You have some bias that can creep into your handicap if you're not 100% numbers based. It was interesting looking at four things, and three of them I knew nothing about. One I actually knew something about. But to figure out, okay, let's go back to the roots. Let's go back to the beginning. How do you handicap something that you don't have a ton of knowledge about? And ironically, I ended up betting one of the four things as well. So looking forward to talking about that the last segment of this hour.
Yeah, good learning experience for you and our audience. And I can't wait to hear what you have on tap for us. We're calling it, Can He Cap It? Mike can cap everything. I'm very excited. But let's start in something that all eyes have been on. We'll get to Gaelic hurling later. But everybody has been watching, of course, the NBA postseason. And last night, the Boston Celtics go up 2-0 in the series against the Indiana Pacers. 126-110, win and cover yesterday is a big favorite. Total goes way over. But if you're the Pacers, not only were you already kicking yourself after the way that game one ended when woulda, shoulda, coulda had that dub and had home court against Boston, then in game two, you lose one of your stars in Tyrese Halliburton. And it feels like any positive momentum that you had, if you were an Indiana fan or backer in the series, is kind of gone.
Yeah, really brutal two games there in Boston. I mean, you mentioned game one. It felt like they had that game one. They were up three with 10 seconds left in the ball. You have that inbound play that's just absolute mess. Gives the ball back to Boston. You get a miracle three from Brown. All of a sudden, you're down 1-0 in a game you really felt like you should have won. And it feels like if you're Indiana at that point, you have to win 5 of 7 instead of 4 of 7 to be able to win the series. And then the loss of Halliburton in game two, absolutely massive. You need him to be 100% to be able to win this series. And now you know he is not going to be 100% moving forward. And he is the gear that makes this offense work. He's able to add the pace. He's got the assists. He can pull up for three. It's not a pretty shot, but it goes in. And so it's one of those guys that you just cannot afford to lose here if you were the Pacers. And unfortunately, he limps off with a hamstring injury in the third quarter. We don't see him in the fourth quarter. It's just a tall task for Indiana to be able to go back and be able to take care of Boston. We're seeing that in the line. I mean, Boston was a 9-point favorite at home, only 7 in Indiana. You'd expect a bigger move there. And then Halliburton, clearly the key. His injury is the reason you're not seeing a bigger move on the line in this spot. It's hard to see a situation here where Boston doesn't get through 4-0 or 4-1 now, Stormy.
Like, how does Boston keep catching these breaks, too? Every single series, star players on the other side are unavailable for them. And I know that they have one of their own stars that's not available, but they have been able to rise up every single step of the way, and they've had the easiest path you could imagine. With that in mind, like, I feel like I'm asking this every single round, but how big of a disappointment would it be? How big of a failure if the Celtics don't go on to win an NBA title with the path that they've had?
Well, I mean, you kind of have that Spider-Man meme right now, though, Stormy, with the two Spider-Mans pointing each other with the Pacers and the Celtics here. I mean, let's not forget the Pacers faced the Bucks without Giannis, without Lillard in some of those games. Then they got the Knicks that were just as banged up as a team could possibly be in the second round. And that's why they're here in the third round. The Celtics don't have Porzingis. You could argue that one of their top players missing here as well. But yeah, this Celtics team, it has felt like it has been NBA title or bust. I know that Dan Campbell doesn't love that theory, but it has felt like that for the Celtics here throughout this entire process. They were a favorite to get to the NBA finals when the playoffs started before the rash of injuries that we've seen. It's going to be interesting whether or not they can flip the switch. That's what I'm really, really excited to see here, because you're going to have Dallas or Minnesota, who has been battle tested in these playoffs through two rounds, and they're going to be coming in at a different level. And they have had to be taking their game to another level every single series, every single game in these series. We saw Minnesota be able to do it last series against the defending champion Nuggets. We saw this. We saw the Dallas Mavs team be able to do it against the number one seed in the West, OKC. You've got Boston, who hasn't had to go to a different level yet. Are they going to be able to just elevate naturally in game one of the finals? And then how are they going to respond if they can't? I mean, yeah. To me, that's the biggest storyline here for this Celtics team that's going to really play their first playoff series when they get to the NBA finals. It's just a very, very different path they've taken than the Western Conference champion.
Yeah, they're a $2 favorite right now to win it all, minus 8,000 to come out of the series, going up 2-0. But let's go down that road then with the Western Conference final, because we've got game two coming up tonight. The Mavs won 108-105 in game one, despite being a 4.5-point dog. They're a 5.5-point dog coming up tonight, total 207.5. And you do like this Dallas Mavericks team.
I do. I didn't think we saw the A game from Dallas in game one. I thought that we saw a pretty good basketball game. Kyrie had a good first half. Luka had a good second half. But they were only 6-for-25 from three. Three of those came from Luka. One of the keys for Dallas this entire playoff run has been those role players who were able to hit threes and specifically hit corner threes. Minnesota took those away in game one, but they gave up everything to Luka and Kyrie because of it. So it's going to be interesting to see how Minnesota adjusts defensively here in game two and what that means for the role players on Dallas's side. You flip it over to Minnesota, I don't think they played their best game either in game one there. I think you're going to see a lot more aggressive Anthony Edwards. He's going to try and get to the free throw line. Only shot two free throws there in game one. Only had two attempts at the rim in game one. That's surprising for him. He went 5-for-12 from three, but that's not his game. It's great that he shot at a high percentage, but you need him attacking if you're this Minnesota team. So I think both teams could play better. But I don't think the spread should have moved the full point here toward the Mavericks side. I feel like we should be sitting at that 4-4.5 number again here in game two. We're getting some value to take the Mavs plus the 5.5. And I still get the best closing offense in this series. To me, that's a big key here. You've got Luka, you've got Kyrie. They can get good shots at the end of game, at the end of shot clock scenarios. And Minnesota, we've seen them struggle all year in these late game situations because they can't always get those quality shots. So I like the Mavs plus 5.5 tonight, Stormy.
You also mentioned the role players. And with that in mind, is there anything in the prop market that stands out to you, or just an approach, generally speaking, as a handicapper as you look through those numbers?
Well, when I'm looking at the prop market, I want to look at the ancillary guys, the guys who I think could kind of bounce back, have bigger games in this spot. And I was specifically looking toward the Dallas players, the role players. We saw PJ Washington. We saw Derek Jones Jr. Each have monstrous games in that series against Oklahoma City. Tonight, they're sitting at 11.5 points for PJ Washington and 8.5 points for Derek Jones Jr. I would lean toward taking both those guys over. I mentioned how Minnesota played defense in game one. I think you do see adjustments in their styles against Luka, against Kyrie. And I think that opens it up for some of these guys who've been taking corner threes, who've been taking those open looks when you do get doubles to both Luka and Kyrie. Because of that, I think they're going to try and make these ancillary players beat you. And we've seen Dallas be able to step up and have their role players make shots in the playoffs. So if I was going to take anything on the prop market on, to me, the PJ Washington and the Derek Jones Jr. points over would be the most interesting. And one thing before we move on to Stormy, I wrote an article about this a while back for VSiN.com, and specifically the PRA stat, points plus rebounds plus assists. And we're seeing it today with Luka, where you're really paying a price. You're paying an extra point, rebound, and assist to play the melding of those three stats versus playing any of them individually. And when I wrote the article, we were about 80% of the way through the NBA season, and it was shocking to me what jumped out. When you had Luka go 2 points over, so about 8% over his points prop, he was 20-2-2 to the over of the PRA. When he went 2 points under, he was 10-2 to the under. So you're really betting a points prop when you're betting someone like Luka on that PRA, but you're getting a cheaper number by just playing the points versus playing the combination of the three. So I'm avoiding the PRAs, especially when you're paying that extra price like you are with some of these stars in the playoffs.
That's really great insight, analyzing how to attack the prop market, because they're is a perceived value when you have them all combined. And so it's interesting when you dive into the numbers that that's actually not the case as much. We talked earlier about the NHL game one Dallas Oilers matchup last night, double overtime, fantastic finish from Connor McDavid in the second OT early. But I wanted to get your thoughts on the game coming up tonight with the Rangers and Panthers. I know you cashed in on the under in game one, a 3-0 Panthers win on the road, and road seems to be the way so far in these early games in the conference finals in the NHL. What are your thoughts on that series, where things sit right now?
Yeah, we've seen the road teams go 2-0 early in this series, early in this round. I like this Panthers team quite a bit, Stormy. I think the Panthers and Stars are the best two teams left. And if you look at the Rangers, when they took on Carolina, they were badly outshot by Carolina. I believe it was like 72 more shots by Carolina in that series, even though the Rangers able to advance in six. They really were relying on Shesterkin to be able to make saves. Well, this is a much better Panthers offense than a Carolina offense. Much more guys that can put the puck in the net. I really like this Panthers team. I think they're going to be able to continue to have a shot advantage over the Rangers. I think they control the play. I love the fact that they step on your throat. We saw that in the Boston series. When they got a lead, they kept pushing. They kept playing in Boston's offensive end. It's impossible to score when you're in the other team's end, and it's just going to be tough for the Rangers to be able to consistently get opportunities to score against the Panthers. I played the Panthers in game one. I played the under in game one. I played the first period under in game one. I'm going to go back to the well here with the Panthers. I'll take them minus 112 tonight. I think they should be close to that minus 125, minus 130 price. And I'll play the first period under as well. This is going to be a Rangers team that's going to push in the first period because they are down one, because they are at home. But I don't think they're going to get the quality shots. I think it's going to be a lot from the outside. Bobrovsky should be able to shut them down. So we'll go first period under minus 130 and Panthers minus 112 for the game.
I love it. And that stretch by the Rangers of the Rangers just not even being able to get a shot on net was very, very surprising to me. But kudos to the Panthers and the way that they've defensively played within their structure and made life hard on the President's Trophy winning New York Rangers. The Panthers are the Stanley Cup favorite, plus 150, followed by the Oilers, plus 200, Stars 4-1, Rangers 7-1. We're going to hit the break, but when we come back, get back into a little bit of that NBA conversation. Tom Byrne of NBA SiriusXM Radio is going to join us coming up next. You won't want to miss it.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are back for a limited time offering our VSiN annual subscription at a discounted price, usually $240. You can grab a full VSiN Pro subscription for just $199. And if you sign up today, we're also giving you an extra 2 months for free. 14 months of VSiN Pro access, less than 50 cents a day, but you need to use our promo code Lombardi. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving every game, betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, and so much more. Head to vsin.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro, only $199. But again, make sure you use our promo code Lombardi. Rolling along here on the Lombardi Line alongside Mike Somich, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And let's keep the NBA talk rolling as we welcome in Tom Byrne on the Progressive Guest Line, SiriusXM NBA host, Mad Dog Radio. He does it all. And we see last night Jaylen Brown dropping 40. The Celtics take a 2-0 lead, and Tyrese Halliburton's injury certainly throws a wrench into the Pacers' chances to contend. Yeah. You know, what were some of the big standouts for you last night as the Celtics go ahead?
Well, listen, they got off to a lousy start. I figured they might ambush them. You know, first quarter, they didn't even cover. Next thing you know, they go on a 20-0 run in the second quarter. And look, Indiana, let's be very real, guys. I mean, they were lucky in the first round. Milwaukee's missing Giannis, okay? They're missing Dame for a couple games. He's banged up. It was a walk-in mass unit for New York. To me, Indiana's like a 46-47 win team that should be out in the first round, but because of injury luck, here they are. I laid 2.5 games prior to the series, paid $1.50 to do it for the Boston Celtics. Never really regretted it until about, you know, 2 minutes into game one when it was apparent that they were going to lay an egg, obviously, like they did game two against Miami, game two against the Cavs. They are a hard team to trust, but there's a reason why they're power ranked by every respectable model much better than the Indiana Pacers. And now the Halliburton injury, so, you know, you don't know how to play the next game total or side. So I don't know if I'll be getting involved until we get some information. And so we'll have to wait and see on that. Nothing really about last night. I mean, listen, Jaylen Brown does this from time to time. We all know he can play. That's why they gave him the max deal. And what's crazy about the Celtics is the fact that he is arguably many nights their fourth best player, because Derek White has been an unsung hero all year long, obviously. Jason Tatum, for all the disrespect he gets, is a top 10 player in my eyes. Drew Holiday has long been a very good player. He's had to take a step back a little bit, but he's handled that well, played very well in game one. The Celtics have the most talent in the NBA.
I agree with you, Tom. They have the most talent in the NBA, but I also agree with you. They're awfully tough to trust, and that's going to be one of the key things moving forward for them. Let's assume they get by Indiana, which I think most people at this point, being in minus 8,000 favorite, say is a pretty safe assumption. How are they going to be able to ratchet up the playoff intensity after going through three rounds where they have not really been playoff tested and take on one of these teams in the West? Right now, they're perennial favorites against either team coming out of the West. Do you agree with that?
I do. I do make them the favorite myself. It's a fair question about the trust, though, Mike. I mean, 100%. They're a hard team. They're a little like the NBA's version of the Dallas Cowboys, only they've had a little bit more success than Dallas, obviously, in the postseason. But you don't know. You can't put your finger on it, but you don't trust them ultimately in a big spot. Maybe it's because sometimes it's your turn, my turn offensively in big spots. Maybe because Tatum, who is a top 10 player, isn't always the best when it comes to that final possession, shot clock turned off. Look, I'm trying to think. Maybe the 87 Laker run. If you remember, Mike, the 87 Laker run, they played three garbage cans on the way to the NBA final, and they beat a team that had the best team in the history of the sport the year prior, arguably. Now, the 87 Celtics were not as good because they were banged up. So let's keep that in mind. I'm not, you know, saying this is the 87 Laker team. But I do think the Celtics should, in theory, be able to do that. But that's a fair concern for sure.
When you look at the big picture with the Mavs and Timberwolves, it seemed like early on everybody was saying, okay, this is going to be the Timberwolves set, and then Luka and Kyrie come together and put on the performance that they did in game one. Now we've seen a flip of favorites in the series. How are you looking at this one?
Yeah, look, I think there's a little value on Dallas coming back again. I made the number 3.2, not to be too technical, but 3.5, and then you know, I'm looking at 5.5s, and so I'm glad I waited. I figured there'd be some Minnesota money coming in. I'm a lean there. I'm also a lean on over the total, like game one. Even if you adjust for the pace in the postseason, I think it's fair to say 207 is a little low, so I'm a little surprised that we're still looking at that number. But, hey, listen, Minnesota, they're going to come out with the desperation factor. We know that. We all understand the zigzag theory, and I think we're seeing a lot of that here. Dallas, though, was 6 of 25 from threes, guys. 6 of 25. So it's not like one of these games we're going to say, all right, they're due for negative, you know, shot regression. They're not going to shoot that well. You know what? They are going to shoot that well. They're going to shoot even better. And here's the thing. The role players didn't even play all that well, because we knew coming into the series when Minnesota was the big favorite that Dallas had two of the best three players. But it felt like maybe the next three most important players, four most important players beyond those three, would all be off the Minnesota Timberwolves. A little like that Philly Knicks series. We all knew it was Embiid, Brunson, Maxey, but then the next three, four players were all New York Knicks. It had that sort of feel. Dallas won despite the reality that P.J. Washington wasn't nearly as good as he was the prior. I think, look, Derek Lively, he's fine. The plus-minus numbers tell me he should probably be playing a little bit more. But my point is, Dallas didn't even bring their A game, won on the road. I think there's a little value on Dallas tonight with the current number being where it is.
Yeah, I'm with you, Tom. I played the Mavs plus 5.5. And a lot of it was that three-point discussion, just 6 for 25 from three. Luka hit three of those. So just three threes from the rest of the team. And it's a team we saw shoot the ball in Oklahoma City well, with both Derek Jones Jr. and P.J. Washington having their own playoff game, just wonderful playoff games there where they're able to score convincingly. The three-point ball, I think, is going to be very interesting tonight. We saw, like we said, Dallas go 6 for 25. We saw Minnesota put up 48 threes in game one. That's the most they've shot all season. Do you expect Edwards specifically to be more aggressive and this Minnesota team to be more aggressive, or is it just going to be a bombardment of threes again?
No, I would think Minnesota's going to look to get to the rim a little bit more. And they don't mind playing to the mid-range some, but I'd be surprised if they shoot the three ball, to your point, as much as they did. And look, they made it for the most part, so you give them credit, but I don't know if they're going to be able to live off that. I'll have my eye on Anthony Edwards. You know, just, of course, sports talk radio goes nuts. Oh, is Anthony Edwards the next Michael Jordan? No, he's not the next Michael Jordan, nor should we ever be talking about that. I mean, let's also be fair about game 7. He was 6 of 24 in a game, and we all wanted to make a big, wow, he got involved, rebounded, he did all this other stuff. Bottom line is he's 6 of 24. I mean, he didn't play all that well. He didn't play all that well in game one. So I want to see a little something from Anthony Edwards. We all love great talent, fun to watch, plays bigger than his size, very charismatic, talks smack with a smile on his face. A lot to like, but he also needs to step up, have a big game too. Karl-Anthony Towns has to shoot better. He wants to tell us he's the greatest, you know, shooting big in the history of the sport. Well, Kat, how about you go out there and shoot decently then? And so we'll see if Minnesota has a little spine in this game too. I think they will. It's going to have to start at the defensive end. Good luck, though. This Dallas team, I agree with Mike. I said it myself, 5.5. I mean, Luka is going to be Luka. He's the best player in this. There's no doubt. He's the best player in this series. And if Kyrie is going to be able to keep this up, and I do think it's sustainable, and they get some help, Dallas could be going to the final against Boston. That'd be interesting. Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving back in Boston, where they're not exactly a big fan.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Just wait, though. The Timberwolves, let's say they go on and somehow find a way to not only win this series, but win an NBA title. The Anthony Edwards comps and the Jordan stuff is just going to blow up. He's 22 years old. He's already got his first one.
Yeah, and listen, in theory, if that happens, and that's still possible. I mean, geez, you know how this goes. The narrative will completely flip if they win tonight. Well, I guess we're all back on Minnesota. That's how the media goes. But you're right, because and then if they win in the NBA Finals, man, that assumes Anthony Edwards has a monster series. At least the conversation's a little more warranted, but even then it would be way too premature. But we all love to do that. We're all looking for the next Jordan. We're all looking for the next LeBron. It's something everybody loves. They say they hate talking about it, but then they can't wait to pick up the phone and call me about it. So I don't believe them.
It feels like this is going to be a big conversation piece. Are going to be Anthony Edwards, the next Jordan, and then that Gobert trade, whether or not all of a sudden we think it was a good trade 2 years later, if they're able to get a title off of it. Now, you mentioned the Mavs role players. We talked about them last segment. And I talked specifically about PJ Washington and Derek Jones Jr. Okay. PJ Washington's point prop is sitting at 11.5. Derek Jones Jr. 8.5 in this game. Do you like either of those players to go over their points props?
If I played one, I think I'd take P.J. Washington. That one makes a little bit more sense to me. He's going to get some looks in the corner three when Luka and Kyrie are collapsing. They'll be able to kick out. I don't know. They might close out harder, and he could attack that closeout too, so you keep it in mind. P.J. Washington's a pretty good player. If you're in Charlotte, you're wondering why he wasn't a little more consistent like he's been in this particular uniform, but whatever. I mean, I would go to you over 11.5. I'd have to see what the juice is. I haven't looked at that number of late, but to answer your question generally, Derek Jones Jr. is an important piece. You know, he's very good with his athleticism. He's a long, very good defender, perimeter, can switch everything. But I think offensively, even with the number obviously being, 3 points higher in this case, I'd go put PJ Washington over.
Yeah, had 13 in game one, hit a couple of triples. Tom, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate you and have fun on the post game tonight.
Anytime. Thank you, guys.
Tom Byrne, SiriusXM NBA Radio, of course, Mad Dog Sports Radio as well. But you got some more Mavs love, more Mavs confirmation bias, Mike.
Yeah, I don't know if it's good or bad. You never know with confirmation bias in the gambling circle. But excited to hear someone else who's clearly tuned in to that likes the Mavs tonight.
Yeah, no question about it. Okay, you hear that music. That means we got to take a quick timeout. But when we come back, we'll get a couple of MLB plays from Mike Somich and my moment to talk UFL. We got NBA and NHL postseason, but we've also got spring football, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In addition to watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget about all the amazing betting tools and content we have each and every day at VSiN.com. Best bets from our show hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips and trends. And right now on the homepage, VSiN senior NBA analyst Jonathan Von Tobel has previews, picks and predictions up for the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. We've got daily write-ups in the NHL, MLB, WNBA, plenty of NFL offseason content, and coming soon, a horse racing article from our own Mike Somich. Check out vsin.com today. What's going on this weekend in horse racing, Mike? What should we be aware of?
Nothing huge. So we have the Preakness last weekend. We got 2 weekends till the Belmont Festival, which is going to be a phenomenal weekend of racing. It's going to be at Saratoga this year. So the cards on Friday and Saturday are both stacking up to be stellar racing cards. But we've got some cowbred stakes out at Santa Anita, so we're going to take a look at that. And then we've got some big time races, including the Pennine Ridge at Aqueduct as well. So we'll be looking at that race too tomorrow for the article on the website.
All right. Good stuff. Again, look out for it at vsin.com. Let's get into a little baseball here. No day baseball today, but we do have a 15-game slate that's starting out this evening around 3:30, 3:40 Pacific. So plenty of games still to come. As you went through the card today, what was the number one game that stood out to you?
Well, there's a couple of them. A lot of the pitchers I like to bet against are pitching today, which is always exciting, including two of them that are playing each other that we're going to bet on one of them. And I can't believe I'm saying this, Stormy.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to back Alek Manoah today. And that is something that has been a very, very tricky position over the last couple of years. We've seen him be very good. We've seen him be very bad. But this is a Blue Jays team that I want to get a piece of right now. We've seen Bo Bichette start to wake up with the bat. Vladimir Guerrero starting to hit the ball much better as well. And it's Matt Manning Day. So why not go against the Tigers here, a team that I thought started out very well, but have kind of struggled a little bit more lately against a Blue Jays team that's heating up. Manoah last time out went 7 innings, struck out 7, facing a better offense in Tampa Bay. Now we get the Tigers here, right? Minus 125 this morning. It's been bet out a little bit to minus 135. I realize this is going to be a boomer bust type situation. Don't hate the idea of laying the run and a half with the Blue Jays and getting the plus 130 considering where the number is now. Because look, Manoah is either going to deal or give up 8 runs. In that case, you're either going to get the -1.5 home or not. So to me, a -135, not as playable as it was at -125 earlier, but don't hate the -1.5 plus 130 on the Blue Jays right now.
And to that point, the Tigers on a stretch of 5 straight losses right now. They've lost 14 of their last 19. 10 of them were on the run line. Another game I know that you have investment in today, Dodgers at the Reds, game one of a 3-game set in Cincinnati. LA was outscored a combined 13-3 in back-to-back losses at home to the Diamondbacks. So do they rebound today? What are you looking at with the Dodgers?
Well, when you're looking to rebound, you're always excited when Grant Ashcroft is on the mound, and that's who's going to be pitching here for the Reds. These two teams faced, and the Dodgers faced Grant Ashcroft earlier this week. They're actually playing 7 games, and it's basically a 10-day stretch here. This is the second series. They played 4 in L.A. They were able to put up 3 against Ashcroft in 5 innings. I think they're going to have a lot of success against him today. This is a situation where we always near third time through the lineup, pitchers start to struggle. There's some familiarity. Well, with the fact that they got to face Ashcroft just a week ago, basically his last start, and now they get to come back, face him again, they're going to be familiar. They were able to put up 3 runs in 5 innings in that game. Right now, the team total over for the Dodgers in the first 5 is 2.5 runs, -125 to the over. Let's go ahead and let's play the Dodgers over 2.5 runs in the first 5 innings at that -125 price. I looked at the first inning run for the Dodgers too, Stormy. That's plus 155. You want to get a little more frisky. Let's go with the first inning run for the Dodgers, but I do think they go over their team total here in the first half of the game.
It's been a while since I've gotten in on the Yerfies and Nerfies. Good times. The Dodgers full game, minus 155 total in the game, sitting 10. How about the Mariners and Nationals? Split with the Yankees in New York this week, winning the first 2 games and dropping the last 2, game 1 in D.C. today, where the home team has struggled, dropped 9 of their last 11 looking through the slate right now. How are you breaking down this game?
Yeah, they haven't been able to get the bats going. That's been a big part of the struggles for the Nationals. Well, today I think it's going to be similar. We've got Kirby on the mound for Seattle, a very good starter there. And on the other side, Mackenzie Gore, one of the players I actually like to bet on when the Nationals have him going on the hill. He's pitching today, so I like this pitching matchup. The game opened at 7.5. We've seen it tick up to 8 for the over. I'm going to actually look at the first half under here, Stormy. You can get under 3.5 plus 134 right now. So we're going to go under 3.5 runs in the first 5 plus 134. You can also get under 4 minus 110 if you want to play the under 4 instead. But I want the under 3.5 to try and get a little bit of plus money. I think both pitchers have success today on the hill.
So how much at this time of year are you always actively shopping the futures as well, like just to look to see where you can find value and advantages? I know you were asking a very pointed question to Cordell Woodland earlier today about the Orioles, so I'm curious if there's anything else you're looking at from that standpoint.
I will be tentative in the futures market in baseball. I'm looking at divisions. I don't like betting the World Series market in baseball as much as I do other sports. There's just so much variance when you get to the playoffs. And we saw that last year with the Rangers and with the D-backs that I'm looking for massive prices if I'm trying to play someone in the futures market, or I'm looking at division prices. I talked about playing the Dodgers earlier this year. They were minus 320 at one point in the division. I thought that was a great value, especially because you have a slate of 162 games. The best team is going to win out in those spots. Now you're sitting there, I think it's like minus 15,000 now. So it's or minus 1,500. So ridiculous price for the Dodgers now. You don't want to play it. But I'll look at the division prices, Stormy. And I specifically mentioned Baltimore with Cordell because they're at a real linchpin of a position here in that franchise's window. They have all the makings of a championship roster right now, but they are missing the pitching. They are missing the bullpen depth. However, they have the offensive prospects to go make a splash if they want to do it. It's going to be very interesting to see how they decide to handle this moving forward. We saw them add Corbin Burns in the offseason. They need another arm. They need more bullpen help. But are they willing to give up one of their top-tier offensive prospects to be able to go and get that type of player that can make a difference in that divisional race? If I thought the answer was yes, I'm interested in Baltimore, but right now I don't think they're going to make that move. I think they're going to look at this as a 10-year window versus a 3-year window. And by doing that, I think they're going to be less aggressive at the deadline.
Interesting. Okay, good stuff. At the end of the hour, we're going to give you your moment with the Cap'n'It with Mike Somich. We're going to dive into some, let's call them unique sports, but I love that we put you to the test and then you actually ended up finding something to fire on. But with that, I'm going to take this opportunity to squeeze in a little spring football into the show. Yes, we're talking NBA and NHL postseason, but we're also in week 9 of the UFL and things are heating up. Although I told you in a commercial break earlier, very interesting home field situation with the playoffs upon us in the UFL. While St. Louis and San Antonio, the XFL conference home field is still up for grabs. If St. Louis wins this weekend and San Antonio loses, then the Battlehawks will have home field for that semifinal. If San Antonio wins back-to-back games because they play St. Louis in the final game, then San Antonio will have home field. But on the USFL conference side of things here, the Stallions and Michigan Panthers still have technically home field up for grabs, even though Birmingham is undefeated at this point. But because Ford Field is going to be utilized for Wayne County Community College's graduation ceremony, they're booked. So even if the Michigan Panthers were able to pull off back-to-back wins these coming weeks, they're not going to get home field in the postseason, which is crazy to me.
Well, you know, Wayne County Community College has a big graduation every year. So I'm not shocked that they're using Ford Field. Like, that's Ford a big Field. Event every year, Stormy. One of the big parties in Detroit.
No doubt about it. But it is interesting. And as we look at the championship odds board here, the Birmingham Stallions are a -155 favorite. That number has just continued to grow. They haven't lost a game in more than a calendar year. They're the class of this league. But they did have a close call last week against Houston, who is one of the worst teams in the league. They were 16.5-point favorite. And it looked like for a moment they might get upset. They end up winning by 7. But I think that was a natural letdown spot coming off of a big win for them against St. Louis, which is kind of the game of the year, a potential championship preview. They're an 8.5-point favorite tomorrow against San Antonio. And I just, there's two sides of thought with this. Like, Birmingham, are they going to be so extremely motivated and get themselves into the shape they need to be to win and compete for a third straight spring football championship? So they're going to take these last two games really seriously. Or are they like, okay, we've already sealed up our fate. We know we have home field. Let's rest some guys a little bit and be in the best position. I'm not so sure. So that game I avoided. I guess I would lean San Antonio plus the points just because they have something to play for here. But the game that I'm going to be on tomorrow morning is the Battlehawks and Renegades. And I'm glad that I haven't kept track of my ROI betting games that involve the Renegades. I'm over 500 for the season, but I have lost any which way I have tried to bet something on Arlington. I keep on getting my hopes up for them that they're going to be good. And then, I mean, they have one win this season. Last week, I came back in. I said, okay, we're going to have a little bit of momentum. After you finally win your first game, you're going to go back to back. And they just get lit up by lose by double digits again. So I feel like I need to stay away from that. What I do love in this game, though, even though it's high at 46, I think this is a total that's going to go over. The Battlehawks have had overs week in and week out, 6 of their last 7 games. And the Renegades, meanwhile, even though the Battlehawks defense is good, the Renegades, for as bad as they've been in terms of wins and losses, have a top 2 offense in the league. Luis Perez is one of the better quarterbacks. So I feel like we're going to get points. Just don't make me pick a side, because no matter what I do with the Renegades, I do it wrong.
It's funny how you always have a team like that. In the NFL last year, for me, it was Atlanta. I couldn't get them right, but you always have one team where you're just like, I should just avoid them. Just avoid them like the plague. I don't want to go near this team because I'm never right.
Yeah, I'm just done with it. I'm sick of it. I can't do it anymore. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up. Final thoughts on the big games tonight in the NHL and NBA and capping it with Mike Somich. We're going to get weird, but in the best way. You won't want to miss it.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Stormy Bonantoni and Mike Somich with you as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line. We are so close to crowning an NBA champion. And with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. If you're new to DraftKings, listen up. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5, and you'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VSIN, V-S-I-N, DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Speaking of the NBA, huge game two in the Western Conference Finals coming up tonight. The Mavericks getting 5.5 after winning game one in Minnesota, total 207.5. And let's just rehash here as we head out, Mike, why you like Dallas to cover once again tonight.
I'm surprised the number went up a full point here. I understand that, you know, the zigzag theory, the Timberwolves, you're expecting a better performance in game two. It was a tough spot in game one coming off game seven. But I don't feel like the Mavericks played their A game in that spot. Just 6 for 25 from three. Just three of those 3-pointers came from role players. Anyone outside of Luka Doncic. So to me, the Mavericks have some upside here. And the Timberwolves, I think, need to figure out what to do on the defensive end with Irving and Doncic, because they didn't really have an answer in game one. And I think that's going to be a struggle for them. And I think it's going to allow the role players on the Mavericks to get some better looks in this spot. So I like the Mavs plus 5.5. I thought this should be in that 4, 4.5 range. I still think you're getting some value on Dallas.
Yeah, I think I might come join you on that as well. And you're going back to the well in the National Hockey League today as well. You love those first period unders. The Florida Panthers came through with a 3-0 win in New York against the Rangers for game one. -112 today on the road once again, like a near pick'em game for this one in game two. Final thoughts there?
Yeah, give me the Panthers at -112. This is a better version of Carolina, and I thought Carolina played this Rangers team really tough. They dominated them from a shots perspective. We saw the same thing in game one, where the Rangers only managed 12 shots through the first two periods and only had one shot on goal in the first 8 minutes of the third when they were down 1-0 and you were expecting a push. Panthers defense has been absolutely phenomenal. I think we're going to see a push from the Rangers in the first period, but the Panthers should be able to keep it toward the outside. I think that leads to a first period under here. So I'll take the first period under a goal and a half, -130. And I think the Panthers just keep it rolling. So let's take the Panthers here at -112. I think they should be closer to -125, -130 in this spot.
And also a reminder for anybody who missed the very start of the show when we were talking about the Oilers and Stars series, as Edmonton gets away with one yesterday after letting up a 2-goal lead. You said, instead of saying, okay, no, I'm out on Dallas, you believed in them prior to last night's loss, and you doubled down on them again after yesterday.
Yeah, I took Dallas to win the series at some plus money. If you look at any of the simulations, Dallas wins the majority of the time in game one. If you look at the expected goals, Dallas had a higher expected goal total there. I didn't think Dallas played their best game, and they still were right there, and it arguably outplayed Edmonton for the majority of that contest. So I'm willing to take a shot on Dallas here. We saw them come back from down 0-2 to the Golden Knights, who I think were a better team than this Oilers team. So happy to still take Dallas here plus money in the series.
Back in the two Dallas teams in their respective conference finals, and like we joked about yesterday, it seems to be going great in Dallas for all major professional sports, unless you're the Dallas Cowboys on a 28 conference final slump. Can't seem to make that NFC title game. I don't know what it is. Oh, the San Francisco 49ers have stood in their way a couple times, which I will admit I have reveled in that a little bit, because I was programmed from a very young age to despise the Dallas Cowboys. I had one of those old helmet set checkers boards that was 49ers versus Cowboys, and I would have to play with the Cowboys when I was being punished. So that should give you a little perspective into my childhood. Okay, enough of the serious stuff, Michael. We've got to get even more serious here, because anybody that knows you knows that you somehow, some way, are good at handicapping just about everything. In addition to what we just talked about in the NBA and NHL, you're great with the NFL. You're our resident horse racing expert. I call you on the 4th of July. You got a guy for the hot dog eating contest. It's amazing. So we put you to the ultimate test today, throwing some random sports your way, and you found a way to handicap these, and you placed a couple of bets as well. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the one that I bet on. So let's start here with the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Competition.
Love
which
it.
Is coming up. And this is actually a huge deal in Ireland. I didn't realize this, that the Gaelic Athletic Association established this in 1887. They've done this one year, or every single year except for one year since then. So this is one that's very important over there in Ireland. You can watch this on BBC. It's streaming on BBC Online if you'd like to. And the winner five of the last 6 years and four in a row has been Limerick. It has been their 12th title over the time. Kilkenny has been another team that's been very good. They've got the most titles for this in 36. Limerick -130 right now as the favorite. And I actually came in and I bet Limerick after going through this and checking this one out. This is a situation where because of the player pool, you don't have a ton of turnover in these teams. I mentioned Limerick's won 5 of the last 6 years. They've had 4 MVPs in this tournament. All 4 are still on the team this year. Their coach is still there as well. He's won all those titles with them too. And when you look through this, they deserve to be a favorite. And I thought it was interesting that you can go back through the history of the hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship, and you see these consistent runs by teams because you don't see a bunch of player movement inside of these. So the Final Four has been the same the last 2 years. Those are your 4 favorites again this year. And to me, Limerick coming back here, it has the best team once again. You can find them overseas as high as minus 160 to win this, but right now just 130 at DraftKings. I think there's some value here in the GAA hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship to take Limerick. So I actually bet this one. I took some Limerick at minus 130, Stormy.
Unbelievable. You're my idol. By the way, this matchup, the title tilt coming up May 26th at 9 Eastern, but I was looking through some highlights here, and it is interesting because it looks kind of like a lacrosse paddle, but instead of a net, it's all made out of wood. There's not pads going on. It's kind of like a soccer type goal. Very, very interesting sport. When I first looked through this list, I was like, oh, curling. I didn't know that was going on in the summer, but no, not curling, hurling. Unbelievable. Okay, Limerick minus 130. Let's now turn our gears to the Street League Skateboarding Apex 2 coming up on the 25th. What did you find there?
I thought this was the most difficult one to handicap of the 4. So first off, whenever you're looking at a new sport, you got to look at the how it's contested. This is a single elimination bracket tournament, which is interesting in skateboarding because you know what, Stormy? It's easy to fall down. You do that, you lose.
True.
So you got to look at consistency and how people are coming into the event. Your favorite right now is Yuto Horigomi. Hopefully I pronounced that correctly. But I don't love how he's coming into this event. He had an early exit in San Diego. He was 17th in Shanghai. He's 25 years old. Japanese guy has all the tricks, but I'm not sure he has the consistency to win this style of tournament. Nigel Hushin, who's the veteran here coming in, he podiumed in both Shanghai and Paris, was 12th in San Diego. I like him a little bit more. He's plus 180 right now as a second choice. But if I was going to bet this, I'm going to take a little bit of a shot. This kind of reminds me of college basketball in a way where you can have upsets because it is single elimination, single bracket tournament. Give me Deshaun Jordan here, sitting anywhere from 8-1 to 9-1, depending on where you're looking at. He finished 9th in San Diego. He was 6th in Tampa. He seems like he's in form right now. And I want to take a little bit of a price because of the style of this specific event.
Real quickly, because we do pro tips here at VSiN every show, each and every day. You can search them on VSiN.com by sport and by show. But you mentioned this being the most difficult handicap of the group that we gave you here. Can you take us a little bit just into your process and what it's like having to do this research for a sport you haven't been involved in before?
Well, I thought this was actually a really good exercise for someone who does have a bunch of sports that I will bet. A lot of times I walk in and I don't start from scratch on the baseball side, on the NFL side, in basketball, because I have a preconceived bias, preconceived notion. So this was a really good exercise for me to kind of take it back to the foundation of betting and where you begin. And it starts out of understanding the event, making sure you understand where the ins and outs are, the rules are. And that's one of the reasons why I thought this Street League Skateboarding was a tough one, because the rules specifically play toward underdogs. But that's important to look at when you're handicapping. So I think it's a good exercise for anyone who gambles to kind of take one of these events every month, every other month, and start from scratch and look at what you do well, what you need to work on, because I do think it helps get rid of biases in a lot of these specific scenarios.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And with that, so there's 2 more I want to hit you with. Which one of these, going through it, did you feel a better level of confidence? The Hockey World Championship with Switzerland and Canada coming up tomorrow, or next week's Overwatch Championship Series?
We're going to go to the Overwatch Championship Series here, Stormy. I like Switzerland plus the goal and a half, minus 155, but minus 155 is not fun. So let's talk a little gaming here.
Love it.
Look, the Asian teams have dominated, and this is a situation where you've got 2 Asian teams taking on 6 American teams in a double elimination bracket. The Asian teams are Team Falcons and the Crazy Raccoon. Crazy Raccoons, right now, your favorite in this spot. They faced each other in Asia, and Team Falcons won in the upper bracket final, but ended up losing in the final to Crazy Raccoon. I'll take a price here with Team Falcons plus 200. We've seen them beat Crazy Raccoon before, and the draw for Crazy Raccoon is tougher. Toronto Defiant and M80, 2 of the better U.S. squads, both in their half. So let's go with Team Falcons at plus 200.
We put Mike Somich to the test. Can he cap it. And the answer, 4 out of 4, was yes. Well done, my friend. Kudos.
That was fun. I'm excited to see if we're able to cash these. I did bet Limerick. I did not bet any of the others, just so everyone knows. I think there's some value on Limerick, but there are the leans in the other three, if you will.
Limerick -130. And well done to our producers, Stephanie Kamershack and Justin Emery, for finding those bad boys for you, for putting in the work and getting the handicap done. Awesome stuff. This was a blast today. So appreciate you. Make sure, everybody, you check out VSiN's The Handle with Mike Somich and Matt Brown tomorrow and Sunday. That's a wrap for us. Have a great day. Good luck with your bets.